Japan Airlines announces more layoffs. Another 560XL encounters iced rudder controls. And Embry-Riddle slips quietly out of NAS Brunswick. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 30th, 2010. Japan Airlines says it will lay off 80 pilots, 60 flight attendants, and 30 other personnel as part of what it describes as a rehabilitation plan. The company called the reduction in workforce unavoidable and said the move would be official tomorrow. AFP News reports that only about 30 employees applied for a voluntary early retirement program. The company had hoped that as many as 200 would take advantage. The airline officially declared bankruptcy in January of this year, but has continued flying while attempting to restructure under court protection. Japan Airlines cut about 16,000 employees and sold off subsidiaries earlier this year in an attempt to return to financial solvency. The NTSB has released details confirming another report of icing causing control issues in at least two of Cessna's popular 560XL bizjets. This is the second documented report of such a problem. This one occurred when the crew of a Birmingham-bound Cessna experienced rudder control binding and discovered ice in the tail cone, control cables, and pulleys following an uneventful landing. Find what had to be the disconcerting details of the new report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Embry-Riddle University has quietly pulled out of plans to maintain a campus at Naval Air Station Brunswick in Maine, which is closing and being redeveloped for civilian use. The school had announced 2 years ago it would remain in the area following the station's closure. The city had been hoping that the presence of Embry-Riddle would help attract other aviation-related industry to the region. The school had reportedly discussed expanding its offerings to serve as many as 2,500 students after the base officially closed. But the Brunswick Times Record reports that Embry-Riddle officials quietly closed up shop in the fall, according to Steve Levesque, executive director of the Midcoast Regional Redevelopment Authority, which is charged with redevelopment of the base. Levesque said the Southern Maine Community College and the University of Maine are seeking to establish an aviation program as part of the community college system and hope to pick up where Embry-Riddle is leaving off. He adds that Kestrel Aircraft Company, Alan Klapmeyer's new venture, selected Brunswick specifically because of a workforce skilled in composites manufacturing and the presence of the community college. Still ahead, a solar-powered UAV shatters endurance records. The Patriot pilot identifies himself. And it's time to put the wraps on 2010 with your help. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Zephyr, Kinetic's solar-powered UAV, has officially been awarded three world records, including one for the longest flight ever by an airplane, 2 weeks, and one for altitude higher than any current surveillance airplane in its class. Kinetic says that because of the UAV's unique ability to fly higher and longer than any other current aircraft, it offers potential benefits to the military, academic, commercial, and scientific users. The ability to fly 13 miles above the Earth allows Zephyr to watch over an area 600 miles in diameter, sending continuous, high-resolution live images back to Earth. That's something unavailable from satellites flying 100 miles above the Earth. The UAV can also relay essential military and civil communications in remote areas between simple handheld radios. Its persistent flight capability, soon to be measured in months, also means that where other aircraft must eventually land, Zephyr can stay in the air for longer, providing an unrestricted view from high altitude. The company says that Zephyr also offers significant cost savings at just one-tenth the cost of other unmanned aerial vehicles and one-hundredth of the cost of a satellite. Chris Kelleher, Kinetic's chief designer, says the Zephyr could help track pirates off the Horn of Africa, alert authorities about where and how fast forest fires are spreading, and ensure that soldiers' communications remain unaffected when fighting in mountainous or hilly terrain. A pilot who had posted videos on YouTube showing what he called lapses in security for ground crews at San Francisco International Airport has now gone public, saying his only intent was to point out disparities in how flight crews and ground crews are screened. The pilot's name is Chris Liu. He'd been part of a program which allows pilots to carry handguns in airplane cockpits, but after the videos were posted, his federally issued weapon and badge were confiscated. He also reportedly had his state-issued concealed carry permit suspended. KXTV and ABC News report that Liu said the reason for posting the videos is that pilots and flight crews are subjected to full security screening, but ground crews can simply swipe a card to obtain access to restricted areas at airports. Liu sees that as a weak point in the system and told the station he was only trying to point out that disconnect. His flight status with his employer has not changed, but he reportedly is no longer in the federal flight deck officer program. And finally, we're into the final 48 hours of 2010, and we'd like you to give some thought to what you believe are the outgoing year's best aircraft, best associated products and accessories, and best values. We're also asking your help to compile ANN's annual Heroes and Heartbreakers list, including the people, companies, and organizations that helped or hurt us during the year. Get more specifics and instructions for submitting your ideas in the text version of this story, dated December 29th, at aero-news.net. We'd like to wrap this up as soon as possible, so try to get your input into us by this weekend. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, EAA President Rod Hightower talks about what he feels we need to do to get the pilot population growing again. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.